I'll have a blue Christmas without you. I'll be so blue just thinking about you. Decorations of red on a Christmas tree of green won't be the same, dear, if you're not here with me. It's one of those Christmas songs, isn't it? Everybody knows that song. But I thought Christmas was supposed to be the most wonderful time of year. I thought it was going to be, that's what Christmas is, right? It's a time of happiness. It's time. But Christmas has some of the saddest songs around. It does. And so that's because Christmas isn't always happy, is it? And it isn't always what we want, a peaceful, happy Christmas. But it isn't always peaceful, is it? I mean, when you get family members together that don't usually spend time together, and you spend a prolonged period of time, there's going to be those snide remarks and those looks and the things that happen when you get families together, and previous problems kind of crop their way up, and that's kind of the way Christmas sometimes it is. Some families can't get together without fighting, just the way it is. It's a reality. I remember one guy, every Christmas he would wear a Bah Humbug shirt to church. Bah Humbug. So I told him, what's up with the shirt? What is up with the shirt? And he said, Christmas has never been a happy time for me. Never, even growing up, it was never happy. So I just don't like Christmas. And I thought it was really surprised, and I tried to get him to kind of cheer up a little bit there. But the more I got to know him, I realized that his life was full of turmoil. He had conflict in his family. He had conflict with his friends. He had conflict on the job. His life was not one of peace. He had a lot of conflict. Well, Christmas isn't always a time of peace. I wish it was. Christmas can be a blue time for so many people. You've got all the happy memories that you can remember, and you've got decorations, but you can't help but miss people that are no longer with us. You remember all the good memories and the good times, but you also remember the fact that some people aren't here with us now. Your mama's gone, your daddy's gone, grandma and grandpa are gone. You have wonderful memories, and sometimes it's hard to make peace of it all, especially if you're alone. Sometimes people are distressed because they have to spend Christmas alone, and maybe their family doesn't call or visit them like they should. But the world wants to create peace. And the way it works in the rest of the world is that you sign a peace treaty. And the peace treaty says, we will not kill you if you do this. So two countries are not going to kill each other anymore. So that is peace, right? Or in a legal sense, if you've ever had a problem in court, you finally get a couple of lawyers together and they draw up some papers and you have resolved the conflict. Now that doesn't mean you're going to get together and sing Kumbaya and be the best of friends. That just means you're not going to fight in a legal sense anymore. But the world longs for peace. Some of the newer Christmas songs have the theme of peace. Let there be peace on earth, one song says, and let it begin with me. There's a beautiful Christmas song. It's one of the newer songs called My Christmas List. And these are some of the words. No more lives torn apart, that wars would never start, and time would heal all hearts. The world wants peace. We want peace in our homes. We want peace in our nation. But peace is not something that you can manufacture. It can't be created by people. The peace that the world gives us is something short-lived and is something superficial. It never makes it into the heart. But when Jesus came, he brought true peace. And the angels promised it. The scriptures tell us that Jesus has always existed as the Son of God. He chose to leave the splendors of heaven. He took on flesh and blood. He was born as a poor baby. He was born to poor parents. And the first people to hear the news of Jesus' birth were some poor shepherds that weren't even respectable in that society. And then an angel appears. Let's look at these verses. Luke chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. This is what the angel said to the shepherds. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." What a message. Words of the ages. And now you remember, the shepherds were already terrified by the appearance of this angel, and they were in awe by the message, but there's about ready to be a grand finale. I remember when I was growing up, we used to love going to the July 4th fireworks. We would go out and we enjoyed, you know, the individual fireworks, the display in the sky, but my favorite part was the finale. That was worth everything because then they shot everything up at the same time. And it was this big finale. Well, this finale is about ready to happen in Bethlehem. If you look in verses 13 and 14, "Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on the earth peace to those on whom His favor rests.'" What started with one angel changes suddenly, and a whole army of angels appears. The invisible heavenly world made a brief appearance here. It's one of those rare occasions. So what was the army doing? They were praising God. They were saying a doxology. Well, what is a doxology? Doxology is a short hymn to God. We sing a doxology every Sunday. At least we used to, prior to this whole thing happening. And sing this with me, you'll remember it. "Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen." See, we're used to doxologies. And there's value in a doxology. Can you imagine this vast angel army bringing praise to God? A number so large you couldn't count them. And it says they were saying these words. Now, I know we've always pictured them singing the words. I'm a musician. I'm more than happy with them singing the words. But they were raising indescribable praise. And they sing, "Glory to God in highest heaven." The rabbis had debated how many levels of heaven there were. Some said there were seven. Some said there were three. 2 Corinthians 12:2, the Apostle Paul said he was caught up in the third heaven. That's the highest heaven. That's where God dwells. And the angels were bringing highest praise to God. And they were proclaiming on the earth peace. Well, what is this peace? You know, the baby Messiah, this was God and this was man. And in Jesus' ministry and His life on earth, He had all of God and all of man in Him. He had all of God's attributes. Jesus was perfect love. Jesus was perfect truth. And Jesus, last week, He was perfect joy. And here we see that He is perfect peace. And we see peace in His ministry. When Jesus healed and forgave people, do you know what He said? He said, "Go in peace." Now, some people picture Jesus as seeking worldly peace, like He was seeking equality for everybody. But that's not the Jesus of the Scriptures. In fact, if you look over here in Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 and 35, this is what Jesus says about worldly peace. "Do not suppose that I've come to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Jesus knew that what he was teaching, the spiritual truths that he was teaching, were going to cause conflict. And that's what the truth does. The truth causes conflict. Jesus is offering peace, but it's different than the world. Jesus told his disciples in John 14:27, "My peace I give unto you, but it's not as the world gives." Jesus does promise peace. So how can I know this peace in my life? Let me give you two avenues to experience true peace. The first avenue of peace is through a relationship with Jesus. The angels' doxology, they say, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and on the earth peace to whom His favor rests." Did you see that? His peace isn't for everyone. It isn't for the whole world. His peace is for those who know God. If you look over here in Romans chapter 5, Romans 5 and verse 1, it's very clear. It says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." This verse says we have peace with God because we have been justified through faith in Jesus Christ. See, peace isn't an inner feeling you have. It isn't tranquility. You have peace because the battle is over. What kind of battle? The battle that goes on inside each person, the battle for the soul. There's an internal battle between people. They're struggling. Every single person is struggling with either I'm going to please myself or I'm going to please God. It's a battle between living for Jesus or living for myself. And let me just say this way. You can have everything the world says that you need to have to have peace. You can have the nicest house. You can have the nicest spouse. You can have the cutest pet. I think we got some cute pets here in the church. You can have everything on your Amazon wish list. How many of you have an Amazon wish list? I have recently discovered what an Amazon wish list is. Yes, my daughter knows all about it. You can have a great family. You can have great friends. You can have a perfect job, and you can have, this is one thing I like, no drama in your life. You can still have all those things, trust me, and still not have peace in your life. Because without Jesus, there's always going to be an inner turmoil in your heart. There's always going to be an inner battle. But Christians have peace because they have faith in Jesus. They are living the life that God calls them to live. They have let Jesus have control. They're not living for themselves. When you surrender fully to Jesus, you have a life of peace. This, you have a state of well-being. You're living the life that God intends you to live. Peace can't be produced by people. And I think we know this to be true. Peace cannot be produced by politics. It can't be produced by prosperity. You can't find peace through self-discovery. Peace is found in Jesus, the person Jesus. And when you really know Him, you're going to know peace. So how can I experience true peace? The second avenue of peace is through the body of Christ. Jesus' ministry transformed the world. He said, "I will build my church." He didn't establish a political peace. Now, right now, we are having this discussion in our country, and now political parties are telling us, listen, all you have to do is just unify. Just get together, unify. We'll all be happy if you just unify. Basically, what they're saying is, listen, let us have our way. Let us have our way. Let us pass what we want to pass. If you let us pass what we want to pass, everything's going to be happy. We're going to send you a little recognition your way. We're going to send you a little money your way. And we'll all be one big happy family. That's called political peace. That's a political arrangement. Now the other side of that is, if you don't give us our way, then we're going to send rioters into the streets. That's the best you get in a political peace. You get some kind of arrangement that you make. But when Jesus died on the cross, He broke the power of sin. He gave us true peace. His resurrection brought unity between people that were once enemies. In the past, the New Testament times, there was a conflict between the Jews and the Gentiles. Those two groups hated each other. They coexisted, but there was no love between them. But the Apostle Paul wrote about this change that took place as a result of Jesus. If you look here in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14, this is what it says, "For He Himself is our peace, who made the two groups one and destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility." When Jesus established the church, it created real peace between people. There was real love. There was real peace. There was real unity. Past hostilities were brought to an end. If you look over just one page on in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, we have another doxology. This is what it says. "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine according to His power that is work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Verse 21 says, "To Him be glory in the church." Do you remember when the angel appeared to the shepherds and the glory of the Lord shone around them? Paul is saying in Ephesians that that glory will now shine through the church. The church is God's vehicle for peace. It reflects the glory of God. I was talking recently to a missionary friend that I know, and I was talking to him about my concerns about some of the things that are happening in our country right now. And one of those is that we are embracing communist China. It is happening right here. We are accepting a lot of money from communist China. They have people in place all over our country. So please don't think I'm making this up. Read the news. This is really happening. People are embracing this. And my concern is that China is not a friend of the church. Communist China is not a friend of the church. And I was talking to this missionary, and he knows it. He knows it too well. Christians are being arrested. Christians are being put in re-education camps. They are not a friend of the church. But they're buying and spending a lot of money in America right now. And people really like China. Now, don't worry about China. It's no big deal. China wants to take over the world. China wants to make the United States like them. It's a fact. It's a fact. But that missionary told me something very powerful. He said, "But every time somebody becomes a Christian, it works against everything they're trying to do, because they find freedom in Christ." And that's the way it works. Jesus Christ transcends politics and world powers. When people find Jesus Christ, that power comes to live in them. And that's how the church triumphs. We have that beautiful song, "Go Tell It on the Mountain." And I want to tell people about the peace that they can have by knowing Jesus. But you can't find anything like it in the world. It's not human created. It's not superficial. It's a peace that comes from a relationship with Him. When you know Jesus, it changes every other relationship. It changes how we talk to people. The peace of Jesus becomes evident in our life. The Holy Spirit lives in our heart, and we start producing love and joy and peace. But Christmas isn't a time of peace, is it? Not always. Not always. There's always these problems that crop up, and it's because it's just everyday life things. Well, it certainly wasn't for a man named Henry. In 1861, his wife unexpectedly died in a fire. And he was also burned, but he survived. But he was burned so badly, he wasn't able to go to the funeral. So Henry fell into a deep depression, and because of the burns on his face, he grew a beard. And on Christmas Day in 1862, he wrote this in his journal, "A Merry Christmas, say the children, but that is no more for me." The next year of his life, he suffered another blow. His son Charlie, the oldest of six children, 18 years old, against his father's wishes, enlisted in the army in the middle of the Civil War. And his dad, Henry, found out about it when he was gone because his son left in the middle of the night to enlist. And on December 1st, 1863, Henry received a telegram that his son had been severely wounded in battle. Henry and his brother went to Washington, D.C. to see his son. And on Christmas Day in 1863, Henry Longfellow, 57 years old, heard Christmas bells. And he decided to write a poem about his struggle and his lack of peace in the midst of war and grief. And the poem begins with some sadness. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. Their old familiar carols play. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Well, thankfully, that's not all there is to the song. It was very heavy. But Henry, his son, soon came home. And for months, his dad helped nurse him back to health, and he was honorably discharged in 1864. Henry Longfellow's poem was published, and it was set to music in 1872, and we still sing it today. Still a very popular Christmas song. So let me ask you today, what is it that is disturbing your peace? What is it in your heart right now that's coming between you and Jesus? Because when you're with Jesus, you're going to have peace. But what is it that's getting in your way? The fact is, there's always going to be circumstances. There's always going to be things that come up, things that happen that disrupt our peace. And they don't go away at Christmas time. There will be storms. I heard it said this way, Jesus will not always calm the storm, but He will calm you. So the choice is us. How are we going to react? Are we letting things in our hearts eat away at us, tearing us up inside? Are we going to give it to God? Are we going to let Him give us peace and strength? If you read the rest of Longfellow's poem, it gets better. It gets more hopeful. Then rang the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor does He sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill toward men. You know, the angels had a message for the shepherds. Glory to God in the highest, and on the earth peace, to whom His favor rests. Peace isn't something that you achieve through a treaty or a political action or through meditation or through self-discovery. Jesus came to this world and He brought peace. And those that worshiped Him found peace. And if you really know Jesus, then you're going to experience real peace. It's going to be deep. It's going to be lasting. It's going to be profound. And no matter what you go through in your life, you will have this peace in your heart. So do you know Jesus? Do you really know Him as your Savior? It's a decision you make. So where are you in your relationship with Jesus? Have you been too busy? Have you been too busy to pray to Him? Have you been too busy to talk to Him? Now, I've learned in my life that even when terrible things happen, bad things happen, I have learned that if I trust in Jesus, that I can have this amazing peace. But I've also learned that when I try to take it on my own, and I try to stress about it, and I try to worry about it, and I try to fix it on my own, there's constant turmoil. Only by knowing Jesus can I know peace. So we have this time of decision. I invite you, if you need to make a decision for the Lord, we offer a time when you can make that today. We're going to sing that beautiful old song, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day.